I think we've got a general bias towards earlier, if you like, but by the same token, we try and be stage agnostic. Where there's a good opportunity, good fit for us and the startup, we definitely look at it in earnest. And that applies equally to wildcard ventures as well as AO startups.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. My last one that I'll be recording from India. I finally get back to Berlin. It is, let's say, warm enough to go back to my beautiful home. But it's been a pleasure to be in India and it's just exploring what's happening in the region. We talk about it in our Asia Pacific report, and we use Asia Pacific quite broadly, go right from the Middle East to Australia. And the reason I always want to talk to people in this part of the world is because there is so much happening. And one such person who's going to highlight what they are up to is the head of innovation at the Australian Open. Marka Reed is on the show with us today. Welcome to the show, Marka.
Thanks, Ryan. Pleasure. Looking forward to the chat, and it's certainly pretty warm. We're on base down in Perth, Australia, so you're welcome here anytime.
I'd love to. I basically skip out January and February in Berlin when it's 0 degrees. I come to about, 24, 25 here in Bangalore, or go down to the coast or something, but yeah, it's nice to be in a bit warmer weather, but nobody wants to hear about that. We want to talk to you, Marka. And actually, I didn't do you justice. I only spoke about your role as head of innovation at Tennis Australia, but you wear a few other hats as well. You are also a partner at Wildcard Ventures. You also are a mentor at the Techstars program. You're a professor at university as well. So you keep yourself busy, yeah?
Yeah, well, I guess I'm super passionate about the sports tech space and category. So my role within Tennis Australia and the Australian Open allows me to lever in to the category in a few different ways, one of which is, as you mentioned, a general partner at Wildcard Ventures. So that's the venture capital arm of Tennis Australia and the Australian Open, which has been in the making for quite a few years. And this year we were lucky enough to launch another part of that kind of ecosystem, which is AO Startups.
And we will come to both of those initiatives, which is why we wanted to have you on the show. I heard about Wildcard Ventures probably early part of middle last year. I don't remember exactly. But especially with AO Startups, it's great to see the Australian Open and Tennis Australia taking the initiative in such a serious way, in organized way, shall we say, inviting more startups into their ecosystem, which is why I love everything that happens in Australia. But before we come to those hats that you wear, I'd like to talk to you and introduce you as a person to our audience. Like I said, you do a bunch of different things. Where did this passion come from and what brought you to this role in sports tech and in sports and innovation?
Yeah, well, I guess it started maybe like much of your audience. I had a real passion for sport growing up, really, and wasn't much good at it, or certainly tried to be good at it, but failed dismally. Miserably, I should say. So that led me down the path of coaching from a really early age, and was lucky enough to have a bunch of experience there on the tour, but didn't have a really prominent pedigree from a playing perspective. So knew that I needed to differentiate if I was going to have some longevity in the space. And that led me down the path of, I guess, technology, further study, ended up doing a PhD in the early days of mocap. So that was the beginnings of what we now refer to as almost computer vision and AI. That was some 20 years ago, again, grounded in the tennis space. And alongside that, obviously continued to work with athletes and coaches. And invariably, you know, when my time was up there, ended up in managerial type posts, setting up sports science, medical divisions within Tennis Australia, and then all the while coming back to technology as this great opportunity for us to add value to what we do day to day. And ultimately that led me to a place with Tennis Australia and the Australian Open where I'm able to apply that kind of passion, not just in the coaching and athlete domain, but as it relates to the event, all of our media businesses and so on.
I feel like I might have got your title wrong based on what you said. You said PhD, so I should be addressing you as Dr. Marguerite, no, right?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Very comfortable. Just my first name's hard enough as it is, Marker. So if you get that right, you've already got a tick in my book. So forget about the rest.
All right. Fair enough. I'll go with Marker. I thought maybe third time's a charm, but you've already given me a pass. But appreciate that. I mean, and it's great to see that passion translate. And this is exactly why I love talking to the person behind, let's say, the position first, because, yeah, we're all sports fans and we've done what we've done to be in the positions that we are. And a big part of that is the passion that shines through. Okay, so let's talk about how you're utilizing that passion. So you already mentioned your role as you've probably worn different hats within Tennis Australia. And then Australian Open and Tennis Australia seem to take a real focus and shine a spotlight on sports tech. And you've done that through Wildcard Ventures. You've done that through AO Startups. So talk us through why this has become such a serious topic within the organization and how these two ventures came about.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, first and foremost, if we talk about the aspiration of our event and business, which is to become the most accessible and enjoyable event on the planet. Be that from a sports point of view or entertainment perspective. So for us to be able to achieve that, we need to innovate. We can't do that on our own, albeit at different times we may want to have a throw at the stumps or try something new internally. We need to activate the ecosystem throughout the world. So for us to do that, we then need to set up in a particular way to allow that to happen. As many of the listeners will know through your reports, Rowan, that there's around 500 different businesses around the world in any given year that trigger a funding event in that sports tech kind of category. And that's difficult. That's 10 a week, 10 conversations a week that we might need to have as a minimum, and that's if we're touching each and every business that might be relevant. So with that in mind, we didn't really have that structure for internally at Tennis Australia or the Australian Open. So we knew that we needed to gear up in that way to allow us to get across all of the deals in market, scan the opportunities that were out there, to allow us then to ultimately innovate through those different technologies that emerge. The other bit that I'd add to it is that over the last two decades, we did an exercise in modelling, if you like, which kind of went along the lines of, hey, for 15 years or so, we've had these amazing opportunities, amazing businesses come to us with a view to adopting really early. And historically, we looked at it through that lens as a client and went, yeah, let's make this happen. We never necessarily approached it through the lens of an investor. So with that in mind, left a whole bunch of value on the table. So we activated these opportunities early, threw our weight behind them, tried to add support as much as we possibly could with a view to enhancing the player experience or fan experience, didn't invest. So as part of that modelling exercise, we went, holy heck, imagine we put $250K to work in each of those. What would that be worth today? And granted, we're being selective, right? We're only identifying those that smashed it out of the park, not necessarily thinking about those that may not have been as successful. But in doing that, we're like, holy heck, that's circa... maybe the valuation these days might be worth about $40 million at the time. So we would have all made a whole bunch of money and been able to diversify our revenues. The IRR was about 38%. So with that in mind, we had these kind of complementary incentives, which was one, we want to innovate, make the sport more special, more accessible. And two, we like the idea of being able to try and diversify our revenue streams, particularly if we're going to be sustainable into the future.
I find that perspective really interesting. It's part of a growing trend that we've seen of leagues taking a greater interest, leagues, sporting organizations, whatever you want to call them, taking increasing interest in taking equity positions in startups. We've seen the NBA more recently, probably the most vocal one. They've been doing it for a while, but they openly say now that they are taking equity positions in the companies that come through their launchpad and other initiatives. They've had the NFL, the MLB, a lot of the American leagues, they're, let's say, a bit more advanced than certainly what I see in Europe in terms of working with startups. But even something as simple as media for equity, if the DFL or various football teams across Europe are opening up to that idea, they see the value of that and they see the value of equity not just being clients. So interesting to hear your perspective on why you are taking these moves. So let's talk about what are you looking for. I would assume that startups are essentially anything that can actually help grow tennis in Australia or the Australian Open specifically, as you said, player or team experience, or is it a wider remit that sport in general?
Yeah, I think look, there's, in thinking about this through the lens of different verticals, you can do that or you can just think about the business as a whole. We obviously run the sport year round. So there's a whole bunch of opportunity there at the enterprise level and at the grassroots level. We're activating tennis throughout the 3,000-odd clubs, the coaches that support the clubs, and, you know, at the moment I think in terms of participation, it's the second most popular sport in the country in terms of how many people are playing. So there's a real opportunity there, be that with D2C kind of opportunities or even in the B2B space in supporting that ecosystem of clubs and coaches. But then if we turn our mind to the event and the players that go into the event, there's obviously in your high-performance space, there's a great opportunity to support professional athletes and their support teams through technology. And then thinking about the fan, more generally, you've got the on-site experience, the off-site experience, which lends itself to all forms of media. And then the on-site experience, okay, it brings into play stadia, different infrastructure, you name it. So we're in a really fortunate position whereby we've got these assets that we can deploy, and it's in our very best interest to partner with emerging and really ambitious founders to try out their technology and see what kind of difference it can make.
Last one on the startups that you actually work with. So what any specific stage that you're looking at, or also any geography? Is it Australian-focused startups? I assume not. You're looking globally. But any specific stage or founder, let's say, bracket or experience that you usually look for?
I think we've got a general bias towards earlier, if you like, but by the same token, we try and be stage agnostic. Where there's a good opportunity, good fit for us and the startup, we definitely look at it in earnest. And that applies equally to Wildcard Ventures as well as AO Startups. One of our learnings through the 3 years that we spent with Techstars was that, okay, if we're going to go to market with something like AO Startups, we want to be able to approach those conversations with startups a little bit differently than we may have in partnership with Techstars. So we're evolving as we're learning more and identifying how we can best support individual startups and the entire ecosystem.
Makes sense. And I think what you've, at least looking at the startups that you selected in the first cohort of AO Startups, you can see that breadth, which is, I mean, from companies that we that are maybe been around the block a bit longer, something like YBVR, who's been a player in the space for a while. We've seen them do various things with various leagues in the US and Europe, to maybe newer companies that I hadn't heard of, something like Amplify, which is in, let's say, data analytics, or Cape Bionics, which is using compression garments, like innovation in a few different areas. So you've got a wide breadth of startups that you're looking at, which is interesting.
Yeah, we do. We've got that blend, as you say, of the later stage, YBVR, MatchEye, so a group out of Sweden that have been supporting padel tennis throughout the world, which is obviously, we know, a sport that's growing really quickly and that we want to support more and more within Australia, through to the earlier stage. Cape Bionics got a really unique use case, got some fantastic traction in customized compression, which feels really intuitive for the different body shapes and sizes that come out of tennis, but equally is super relevant for some of the team sports around the world, through to Equity. And we had a conversation with the founders this morning from Equity around how we can best support them in our business. It's something that we're passionate about. We need to continue to support, which is pay equality throughout every aspect of our business, and equality and opportunity also. So Equity is going to help us down that path. Then you've got Recap, generative AI, you know, it's all the rage at the moment. So where can we take that as an opportunity to activate throughout the event and year round?
Actually, you gave me, great to hear about the startups that you're working with, but you gave me my next question and segue beautifully at the start of your answer, which is to talk about the growth either. Of... I think we're working well, Marco. I think we're working all right. Which is actually talking about the growth of other racket sports, especially paddle or padel and pickleball in the US, and how that translates into the Tennis Australia strategy. Because, I mean, we talked about the growth of tennis in Australia, but is it tennis or racket sports? Because these two sports, especially paddle and especially pickleball in the US, I mean, it's more geography specific, but they are basically the fastest growing sports in their respective geographies. And that creates it so many opportunities that we're seeing around it, whether it's more smart courts, different ways of getting players to access their sport, like a lot of innovation that you can build around a fast growing sport. Is that something that Tennis Australia also has its eye on?
100%. Yeah. And I'll declare my own bias here, right? Because I lived in Spain 20 years ago for an extended period. So I was able to experience and enjoy padel at that time. And I've been almost waiting with bated breath to see it kind of flow through the rest of the world. It's been a two-decade wait, but we're getting there. So we've got, yeah, as you say, padel coming from Europe, South America, and then you've got pickle variety coming from the US. And very much we're looking at that as an example of racket sports making a difference in our community. So how can we support it? And equally recognizing that there's a business opportunity, a commercial opportunity in it. Be it on the software side or equally in the infrastructure space. So I reckon it's an area to watch with some interest over the next couple of years.
Yeah, another thing we have in common, because I spent a year in Spain. Well, more recently I was there. I lived there for a year about 5 years ago, and that was also my introduction to padel. I found this sport super interesting, played it a few times and had a great time. A nice crossover felt between tennis and squash. And But that's not so relevant. What's more relevant is that one of the biggest drivers of growth, this is part of the, I forget the name of the report, but it was published by Playtomic and Deloitte, I believe, which said one of the biggest growth drivers for the sport has been the conversion of tennis courts into, let's say, more utility padel courts because they require lesser space. So there is inherent crossover. Tennis clubs can easily become tennis and padel and other sports and other racket sports. So that's a big driver of the growth.
Yeah, I guess we've still got a vested interest in our own sport, tennis. So we prefer to see the addition of new facilities than necessarily the replacement of tennis facilities. But when you look at, in a way, it's the closest thing we've had, and it's not quite there. It's not like Putt Shack, or it's not like Top Golf, it's not like Flight Club, but it's beginning to set us down this path of where we're connecting the social with the sporting experience through a tennis lens. The more we can do that, the more it opens our sports, the racket variety, up to different
exactly.
markets.
I think it's just different ways of inviting new players into your sport.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
Fantastic. Okay, so we've talked a lot. I think we've got really good context on what Wildcard Ventures is about, what AO Startups is doing, and I guess a big reason for that is AO Startups create opportunities for Wildcard Ventures to invest in, to do follow-on rounds in those companies, or, of course, looking in the wider market as well. Can you talk about some success stories, either from the startups that you've already seen or maybe some investments that Wildcard Ventures has already managed to execute?
Yeah, so I think immediately just turning attention to Wildcard, our first investment was in a group called Swing Vision. So a couple of founders out of the Valley, ex-Tesla, some real expertise in computer vision, and almost bringing together this kind of world of tennis whereby you can better track your activity on court with the ultimate vision of powering line calling through a single or maybe two camera vision. So that's something that we've been bullish on from the absolute get-go and remain steadfast to this day. They've got some really promising traction in the tennis market, now looking at adjacent markets in pickle and padel, see what they can do. So, again, that's an opportunity we identified early, had high conviction in, and continue to through to 2023. So that immediately springs to mind on the wildcard side. Wildcard, we've also seen some early success with EcoSamsara, which is in the space of infinite plastic recycling. So again, quite a bit different, right? It's kind of another step to the side, but it's a real challenge for us as an event. So how can we respond? And we've been fortunate enough to make an early investment in EcoSamsara, and these guys are tracking along really well domestically with some great opportunity in the space. On the AO startup side, I mentioned equity a moment ago. I think I covered most of the ground with the different startups in play. CAPE, as I mentioned, in the pro athlete space, it's one that resonates immediately with our athlete playing population. They're drawn to, I don't want the retail variety anymore. I actually want something that's purpose-built for me. So they've been super keen to get stuck in and get some of those compression garments tailored for them as individuals.
Actually, just for context, you might not be aware, and maybe some of our listeners are not, but I think it was in 2020, end of 2020, early 21, we did a tennis tech stage, invited a few startups to come to pitch with one of our partners who was interested in highlighting some tennis-focused startups. And that was when I spoke with Swapnil of Swing Vision, who seems to, they've really gone up from strength to strength. And great to see that you guys took them so seriously from the start. Okay, so that's some of the success stories. Let's talk about some of the challenges. Like, what are the big issues that Tennis Australia is hoping to tackle through these partnerships, either through Wildcard Ventures or your startups? Like, what is the biggest agenda for Tennis Australia, let's say?
Well, I think one of the challenges we've experienced, it's kind of opportunity challenge, right? The opportunity has been that we've been able to create our own venture fund, go to market, support these businesses that previously we would have only ever been a client of. So, but to do that, we've set up a syndicate, so presenting these opportunities on a deal-by-deal basis. So they're not sweat equity deals. They're not us investing entirely off the balance sheet. It's really been deliberately set up to attract private capital as well. And as anytime you're going to the private capital markets, so now trying to hit up external LPs, that in itself presents a challenge, right? Because these guys are really sophisticated investors. You're at the beginnings of a journey as a venture fund, trying to make some special things happen. But that continues to be something that you're trying to get better at and so forth. And in the second half of this year, we'll turn our attention to how we can grow that opportunity and make it more available for more investors. So, mate, Rowan, I might be coming to you, mate, going, hey, look, can you open up your address book and see who we can talk to?
Mate, Marco, I'm happy to help in any way that I can, but I can tell you also, this is not a problem unique to Tennis Australia. Every investor out there who's trying to raise the next fund is struggling to do that, to find the right LPs. But that's also because LPs today have so many options. There are so many funds speaking to so many good startups because, as in, let's say, the base of the pyramid is pretty wide. There are lots of opportunities out there. But that said, I would like to believe that a brand like Tennis Australia, who's doing things seemingly the right way, at least from the external perspective, I mean, to set up a nice cohort, you've got a fund in place, like you're clearly open to innovation with the mechanism behind it of Tennis Australia, with a key property like the Australian Open, that surely has to be attractive to plenty of LPs. So we will continue that conversation. In fact,
awesome. I'll hold you to that. Expect that call.
let's do that for sure. Before we move on to what's next for you guys, I want to sit with trends just for a minute. You mentioned a wide area that you've already selected startups within, but is there something especially, let's say one or two areas that you're really looking for with a special focus? Also to touch upon the Web3 or NFT topic, I have to highlight that AO Artball was probably one of the best initiatives, and we've talked about it a number of times in our channels. I don't know if that was come through your team or whoever within the Australian Open universe ran that project. Fantastic job to them. Kudos on year one and year two of that project. One of the few successful, nicely executed NFT projects. So, I don't know, is Web3 an area? Are there any other areas, just one or two, that you are really looking at more keenly than perhaps others?
Yeah, so, first on the AO Artball experience, we were really proud of it as an initiative and continue to watch on the NFT and broader metaverse space with some interest, right, because it's pretty turbulent at the moment. So we're keeping track of it like a lot of stakeholders are. In terms of the different spaces that we're really turning our attention to or tracking really closely. We obviously touched on one a moment ago, in and around those more diverse racket sport experiences, given where they're at in their growth curve. So what opportunities are going to present that allow us to add value and also augment returns for our investors? So that's definitely one. The second one is in, it's been around for some time, right? This smart equipment space. We've seen Peloton, we've seen Tonal, we've seen Vitruvian try and do some really cool things out of Australia. And I've got a keen interest in it because I look at equally the success of someone like a Catapult in the professional sports space. What Catapult's really been really good at is quantifying the characteristics of play. A soccer player's out on pitch, NFL player's out on pitch, they're doing training, you name it, that's all being captured. But there's been a bit of a gap as soon as the athlete returns to the gym. There's been some complementary technologies, but it's nowhere near as sophisticated in its approach as compared to the amount of tracking and investment of time that's injected into the on-field pursuit. So I think at the pro end of the market, there's an opportunity for smart equipment to make more of a splash. And then equally at the consumer end, when you're thinking about gym and thinking about that home fitness category, what can be done there in the dumbbell space? There's a business we're looking at closely called Kabata in the smart dumbbell space out of the US that's got a form factor that's really appealing, got some IP that's, I think, pretty compelling. So that's, I think there's going to be an opportunity over the next 5 to 7 years there as the different worlds collide, both pro athlete and consumer.
If you haven't got it already, this is to the listener. The previous episode from this one with Marka, we spoke to Elysian Park, Max, who used the term investment in human awesomeness, anything that helps people get more data about themselves, let's say from fitness to athletic performance, to sleep, nutrition, whatever. Fit Insider calls it the quantified athlete. And I think that's another area that we'll continue to see investment. So Marka, I think you're hitting on right trends. There might be some companies I might ping you if they're of interest as well, but we'll keep that as another conversation that we can have. Okay, so I think for listeners, for especially startups, Marka's outlined some areas that they are looking at. But for us to hear what is coming up next for the Australian Open, for Tennis Australia, also especially through Wildcard Ventures and AO Startup, the cohort was just announced. So I assume there'll be another cohort at some point in time during the year. You already mentioned that Wildcard is going to be more active, let's say, in the investment space. Is that the main focus for 23, 24 and beyond?
Yeah, very much. So Wildcard, open for business every day of the week. We're looking at how we go about positioning the next opportunity as a committed fund. So what might that take? It's obviously a conversation that we had some years ago, pre-COVID, keen to revisit that, which is where I mentioned to you, Ryan, that opportunity to circle back and connect with the broader interest groups. On the AO Startup side, I think given the amount of interest we're able to conjure, which kind of blew our minds in reality, it was awesome. It exceeded expectations a few times over. I think what we'll try and do is go again in the middle of the year to provide a longer lead time into the AO. So for those businesses that really want to activate, they're a bit more later stage and they really want to make a splash in an event like the Australian Open, we provide enough time for that to happen. Obviously, first time at the dance late last year, we were able to support 7 businesses, awesome. They were able to springboard, get some marketing benefit out of the Australian Open. But it also meant we were really crunched for time to activate at the event. So I'd like to provide us a bit more time for that to happen in the 24 AO.
Perfect. So you're going to bring the cohort a little further up in the year. Be sure to track the social channels and the website. I'm sure they will share the information. And for sure, we will share the information the moment we get it that AO Startup Program is open again and the application process, et cetera. So we'll be happy to support good initiatives like this one as they grow. Marka, if somebody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to do that? LinkedIn, email, what are your coordinates that you can share?
Coordinates, like it. LinkedIn, definitely, and then email guys, mreid@tennis.com.au. Keep it simple. And then we can funnel out bit to Wildcard or AO startups, you name it from there.
Super. Thanks for that. All right, Maka, that was a really fun conversation. We kind of flew by that one, or that one flew by, I should say. My last question, this is the one that I always like to end with. And in fact, I started the conversation on this theme. I like to believe we're all sports fans first. Clearly, in this case, we both are. So I want to end on what has been your favorite sporting moment, either one you participated in as an athlete or just as a fan.
Favorite. Wow. Okay. Not sure about favorite. Most memorable, sure. And it's kind of recency bias right now. And this is as a faux athlete, not a real one. A couple of weeks back, we did in a team, so certainly didn't do it as an individual, the Rottnest Channel Swim, which is basically between Perth and an island 20 kilometres offshore. You're out in the big blue in amongst all that marine life that most of us are fascinated by, be that, you know, rays or sharks or, you know, heaven forbid, the hungry types. But out there swimming, an amazing event, just in the wilderness. And once you get to the other side, pretty exhausted, pretty beaten up, but it was pretty keen. So I'm not sure that's the it was pretty cool. Not sure that's my favourite, but definitely memorable, given that it happened a couple of years
ago. Sounds incredible. Can I ask, how long was the swim? Like, what is the distance that you covered?
We had one good swimmer and three battlers. I was one of the battlers. So it took us 5 hours and 51 minutes.
Wow, that's 5 hours.
So 6 hours. I think we did it faster than the bloke that we swam past at one point who was trying to do it using butterfly on his own. That was a hell of an effort.
Jesus. And one reason I love talking to Aussies as well, just so like out there, get out in nature. And we just sat here with our laptop. listening to great stories, so I appreciate it. Maka, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thanks, mate, for coming on the show, sharing your perspective, and especially sharing what the Australian Open, Tennis Australia, Wildcard Ventures and AO Startups, I think I covered most of it, has been up to. Maka already shared that you can reach out to him via LinkedIn and or email. And yeah, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for the time, right? Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. All right, guys, that's another episode done. Continuing our series of new investors and new funds that are out in the market. Some familiar names who are, let's say, launching Fund 2 and Fund 3. We've got actually a couple of big ones for the rest of the month. And new interesting initiatives like Wildcard, like AO Startups, which are coming on the scene and creating a splash, let's say, to feed off Maka's last story on the sports tech scene. All right, see you guys next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.